It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, hello, hello out there in Radio Land. I am George Williams, your host, and this is The George Williams Show. Folks, we're glad to be back behind the mic, and we're going to have a very good show tonight, I hope. But we will. And we're going to have three guests. Two are in the studio right now, and the other will be calling in later on during the show. We have so much to talk about, folks, so much. But first, we're going to be talking about, what are we going to talk about? Well, here we go. Our first guest is Carla Dupree. And Dupree?
Yes, that's correct, George.
Dupree, yes. And she is the chairman of the local chapter, the Mobile chapter of the Alabama Minority GOP. And as you know, I am a member of that organization. Matter of fact, I'm the chairman, state chairman of it. And we're very, very busy, folks. Very, very busy working to keep those Democrats out of office. But anyway, we won't go into that tonight. But, Carla, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, George.
All right. Tell our folks a little bit about yourself. And
good evening, everyone. My name is Carla Dupree, as George stated, the chairman of the South Alabama Minority GOP. That's the southern part of the state, so that means you. And I look forward to you coming and joining us at the Morrison Cafe. We meet the second Monday of every month at 6 p.m. promptly. We have a host of local officials, community leaders. We're there to address the concerns that you have in the community and just to make the state, the city, a better place to live for you and your children.
All right, Carla, tell our audience something about the minority GOP and how you got involved.
Well, I come from a family of Yellow Dog Democrats, but the policies and the philosophies of the Republican parties are conservative, and I felt like it reflected my values more than anything else.
Okay. And when did you come over? Were you initially, like me, a Democrat? I came over with Reagan. Reagan brought me over.
Well, I've been blessed to be a manager of a congressional office in Kansas. Right. So I've been in Washington, D.C., working back in the 80s.
In the 80s?
Yes, so I've been a Republican since the 80s. So I'm not a Johnny-come-lately Republican. I've been a Republican for a very long time.
Okay. Now, what is your chapter doing in the lower Alabama area? We call it L.A., and we don't mean California, lower Alabama.
Well, as I stated initially with my invitation to your audience to come join us, that we do some community outreach. We're going to do the Pecan Festival over in Theodore. In Pritchard, we'll be doing the Veterans Day Parade, and we also have a collard green competition that George was second place in.
Excuse me. I should have won that collard green contest, okay? I should have won it. So, but I may still participate. But
That's right.
I'm going to pick my own judges.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, that will be November the 11th of 2025.
Okay. By the way, I have our tent in my truck out there. You know, so we set our tent up. You know?
That's right. So you can come get some literature from the tent about what we are and what we do in the community and what you can do to help us.
Right. What about our candidates? We have quite a few Republicans in the House and the Senate and different cities, you know, that we have. Some mayors Part of our outreach, what do you think that's very important regarding that?
As far as our outreach is concerned, I feel that the candidates should reflect the community.
Mm-hmm.
And with that in mind, then you know what best issues concern you, whether it's education, whether it's your small business, whether you're dealing with someone that's a disabled veteran or someone that's mentally ill. Then those are things that your potential candidate should address.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you, you knew from last night when we had the minority GOP meeting at Morrison last night, you knew you were coming here tonight. So why didn't you bring some of those Chris and Carla's ribs in here?
The heavenly ribs.
Yeah, heavenly ribs.
Yeah, you don't need.
Yeah, why didn't you bring some in here? You know, because our other guest is hungry like me. Like me.
Well, we want you to keep your boyish figure, so next time I'll bring you a salad.
Okay, I agree with that. Now, last year we had our yearly meeting here in Mobile, and it was very successful. Are we concentrating here in Mobile? Because we have a lot of young blacks now.
Yes.
That are involved with the Republican Party as part of the outreach. So how are you going about, you know?
Well, we can always do better, George, when it comes to outreach, because it's been my experience that a lot of people do not know that we're here or what we're doing or what we even stand for. So that's why we're going to the Pecan Festival. I would love to see us just doing some voter registrations. I've been the absentee ballot manager before I ran for office. And so I've seen several ballots that have had to be returned just because people didn't do the proper documentation. And so that's something that we also do at our meetings, is that I have a sample ballot there with election literature so that people can know the proper way to vote.
Right. And we also try to get qualified minorities into different political offices.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, next year is going to be a very big election, because from the governor on down, they're going to be running for office, Secretary of State and the Attorney General and the Senate, because Congressman Moore is running for the Senate now, so his seat's going to be vacant.
Right.
So what are you doing to...
Well, I've already talked to Congressman Jerry Call, and he will be attending one of our meetings as soon as his schedule permits. And the members will get a chance to address Mr. Congressman Call about their concerns.
And, right. Right. Now, also, due to this illegal court action in District 2, we have Samari Figures, who's a zero in my estimation with the way he's been voting, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Are we going to have a good candidate to try to get him out of office?
Well, we had several last time, so I'm sure that we will be working.
Didn't you run?
Yeah,
you didn't know I was going to get you with that.
No, I figured you would, but anything is fair game with you, George.
So. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, folks, you know, we got a couple more minutes with Carla.
Yes.
How do the audience get in touch with you as the chairman of the South Alabama chapter?
Okay, then. Well, my cell phone number that is strictly reserved for the South Alabama Minority GOP is 251-266-6063. And you can call that number anytime, 24/7. And I'll be happy to send you some literature and get you some information on where to attend our next meeting.
Right. Now, when are those meetings scheduled?
Those meetings are scheduled on the second Monday of every month at 6 p.m. at the Morrison Cafe.
Morrison Cafe.
Yes, located here in the great city of Mobile, Alabama.
All right, folks. So you've heard it from our chairman, Carla Dupree, of the South Alabama chapter. And our meeting is the second Monday of every month. Every month, folks, at 6 p.m.
Yes.
And we expect to see you there. Now, remember also, you don't have to be black to be a member of the minority GOP. We've
That's
got
right. Friends come in many colors.
Right, right. So we're not prejudiced like that, folks. Anybody can come in and be a member. So we're looking forward to hearing from you, and we'll have you back on.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Carla Dupree, chairman of the Alabama Minority GOP Mobile Chapter, folks. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. We are on a mission. Our number here is 251-343-0106. And now, our second guest. There's all kind of activity in the month of October and November. This one is regarding the U.S. Marine Corps, folks.
Hoorah.
All right. And we have Master Gunnery Sergeant, retired, Cynthia House, who's got I don't know how many titles, in the Moffett Point Marine. So, Master Gunnery, may I call you Cynthia?
You can call me Cynthia, George. I know that's too many words for you. Go
ahead. Here she go. Here she
okay,
go, folks.
Here she go.
I said I'll be good tonight. I'll treat the Marines good. Even though, I was a Marine. My first branch of the service was U.S. Marine Corps. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Right. Tell our audience, a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to ask you about the Moffett Point Marines.
Okay, well, I love saying this. I'm going to say it again. Again, I'm Master Gunnery Sergeant Cynthia House, United States Marine Corps retired. actually, he's right. I'm engaged in a number of veterans groups and activities throughout the city and actually throughout the country. Mm-hmm. But the group that I am most attached to is the National Montauk Point Marine Association.
Okay.
As soon as I say the word Marine, and you know that November is coming up, you already know what's going to happen. We're going to be celebrating that birthday. If people don't know anything about the Marines, they know that we're going to be celebrating our birthday. It's a big deal for us right now because if you think about it, I'm kind of excited about this. All of the branches of service have been celebrating their birthdays in a big way. We started with the Army. Mm-hmm. I understand the Navy just did some things, and as much as I hate to admit it, I heard it was a really good time for the Navy celebration out at the battleship. Mm-hmm. But I have a bet with somebody. So if you know any veterans around that Marines, you know that there are events going on all throughout the city. There are a number of Marine Corps organizations. We got the Marine Corps League and such. But I'm a part of the Montauk Point Marine Association. And that group in itself is one that was actually started to perpetuate the legacy of the first African Americans that joined the Marine Corps.
And what year was that?
That was actually in 1965. And I'm saying that because when we talk about the Montauk Point Marines and the reason they're called that, it's because the Marine Corps, being the last branch of service to integrate, was actually still very segregated. And so those African Americans that were, and I'm going to use the term, permitted to join the Corps, had to be trained at a separate location, and that location was Camp Montauk Point.
Yeah, and what year was that?
Actually, they were allowed to join, started in 1942. So
correct.
They were trained there from 1942 to 1949. Mm-hmm. So any of those African Americans that joined the Marine Corps during that time, during World War II, would be what we could call the Montauk Point Marines. And I'm glad you asked that question because that's a big deal. And let me tell you why. We're talking about celebrating the 250th Marine Corps birthday. Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, it was only 83 years ago, that the first African Americans were allowed to join the Corps. Mm-hmm. The organization that we're a part of was started in 1965. Mm. And so while we're celebrating the 250th Marine Corps birthday, we're also celebrating the 60th anniversary of the National Moffett Point Marine Association.
Okay, now, where did that name Moffett Point Marine come from?
Again, it was just based on the place where they train.
And where was that?
outside of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Camp Lejeune.
You remember Camp Lejeune. Everybody knows Camp Lejeune, but everybody doesn't know about Camp Marfa Point.
Right, right. Right. Now, I've been down there, and I was stationed in Camp Lejeune when I came back from Vietnam. And I think they have a Marfa Point Marine museum down there, right?
They do. And you know what? What I love about that is the fact that that museum, and there's actually a monument as well.
Right.
But all of those things are located at the very same spot that nobody wanted to be.
Okay.
And now it's pretty much a tourist attraction.
Wow. Yeah. So, it is very impressive.
It is.
I went down there for the opening of that, you know, the unveiling of it.
I remember. Yeah. Okay. We were there together. I remember that.
We were there together, right? Yeah. About how many Marines participated once they were allowed to integrate into the Marine Corps? How many Moffett Point Marines served during World War II?
Well, let me just say, the records are indicating that there were about 20,000 African Americans that were trained at that base during that time.
Yeah.
And that number, so that's the number of workers, probably 19,000, but we're looking at 20,000 African Americans are trained there.
Now, the other question. And I was told this, and I just cannot believe, okay, first of all, how many of those individuals are still living, approximately?
I am not certain of the count, but I believe it's somewhere around about 400 that we still have living from World War II.
Wow. And what is the age of the oldest one?
I believe it's 104.
Wow.
But let me just say this. And of course, you already know that there is only a handful of them. But listen, we've got two Marfa Pointers actually in our chapter. We're the only chapter in the state of Alabama. And so they're kind of spread out a little bit. We've got one who is in Birmingham,
right.
Reverend Greason, who was also in the Negro League Hall of Fame for baseball.
Baseball, right.
Yeah. Bless his heart, he just turned 101.
Wow.
He is still preaching.
Right.
And we have another one not too very far from here in Frisco City who is 102 years old.
Wow. And our special guest for the our ball is, he's
going to
see,
you didn't
there.
Let me get to that part. I was going to throw that ball part out, but you're exactly right.
I'm sorry.
So,
I'm
yes, I got to say this. So we're proud of a couple of things.
Yeah,
first
I've got
of all,
you're a master gunner.
But
I'm a major.
But
okay. All right. So
see, he ought not be doing this. So let me just say this. So, again, we're the only chapter in the state of Alabama. What I'm proud of at this very moment as I sit here is that our chapter was recently renamed the Major General J. Gary Cooper chapter.
Cooper. Right. Yeah.
Now, I probably don't have to say much more as soon as I've said that. So you already know what we're dealing with here.
Right.
So to have our 250th anniversary, celebrating that, and the 60th Marfa Point Marine anniversary this year under the J. Gary Cooper chapter, that's a big deal.
Okay.
But the bigger deal is to have an original Marfa, and they don't like for us to say original Marfa Pointer because we're in the association. People think we're Marfa Point Marines. No, we are not.
Right.
But we've got a Marfa Point Marine as our guest speaker, a former ambassador, Theodore Britton.
Right.
He's one of the younger Marfa Pointers that are still living. He would turn 100 in a couple of days.
And let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. I bet he could outrun me in the 100.
Man
is unbelievable. You think he's 70, 75 years old, okay? But he is 100 years old.
And a sharp mind. He's
sharp
a historian.
Mind.
Yeah. Very sharp.
Sharp
and
mind.
And so we're lucky to actually have him come here to visit us. He's been here before.
Right, yeah.
But we needed to get him here for this because this is a very, it's an important time for all of us.
Right.
And so
right.
he needed to be here to this year for us.
I urge everyone out there to, and we're going to cover this in a little while. But about sponsorships and coming to the ball, okay?
Yes.
That's very important. And you can meet someone who's 100 years old. That unbelievable. He looks like my brother, and I'm telling you. Although I'm only 50. So, but let me tell you something. I'm serious about him. I remember he was here the last time, and I spoke with him. And I just can't believe he's talking like that. And he's walking around, and he don't need anything to walk with. And folks, you have to come and see him.
I
really mean that. You have to come and see him. And I'm going to interview him before the ball. And then,
that would be amazing.
Yeah, or if I can get him to the studio here and let you listen to him, and you think I'm telling you, you won't believe it. You won't believe
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, what about the ball?
Okay, so the ball is November 8th, and I will say this again, all Marines celebrate. And so there are a lot of events going on, but I'm going to tell you, this one you do not want to miss.
Right.
Partly because of the fact that we have Ambassador Britton as our guest speaker, but simply because of how we plan to celebrate this. It will be particularly, and also, as I mentioned before, because we did rename with General Cooper, so there are going to be like certain accolades and that kind of thing that we'll make sure to deal with at that point. But our ball is scheduled for November 8th.
Right.
It's going to be at the downtown Holiday Inn in the historic district down on Government Street. One of the things, and I'd like to say this because we keep talking about some of the younger veterans. We don't have enough of them. There are not a lot of kids, particularly that are, I'm going to say, patriotic, if you will. And so we're starting to start young.
Right.
And we're always happy to be able to invite some of the cadets from some of the local ROTCs, and they would be a part of that ceremony.
Right.
So we will definitely be putting out some information about the ball itself, the time, more information about the time and the location.
Okay. All right, so how do folks get a hold of you, and how do folks purchase their tickets, or if they want to be a sponsor, how do they do that?
So we got a couple of options. Well, first of all, it would be on Eventbrite, so that's one of the avenues toward doing that. You can contact any chapter member, including George Williams.
Yes.
We do actually have a Facebook account, so I think it's Montford Park Marines, Mobile Chapter 33, by Facebook.
Okay.
And we can actually provide some more information if we need to a little bit later.
Right,
to get on
right.
That. Yeah.
All right. That sounds good. And
thank you.
We're gonna have you on some more.
Okay.
Until we get up to that point, okay? Because to
wonderful.
Me, this is so important. I really mean
it
that.
It is.
And especially with our guest speaker coming, I mean, I just can't believe.
It's a different side of the Marine Corps. And like I said, you know, you'll see some of the, like each ball is a little bit different, but we do cater ours. We alter it a little bit because we do acknowledge and honor all of the Montford Park Marines, and particularly those that, and I'll talk about that, actually recipients of the Congressional Gold Medal. Now, that's a story for another day, and that's one of the things that'll be happening with us.
And we'll definitely get to that.
Okay.
All right. Cynthia House, folks, Master Gunnery Sergeant. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, folks. And we are on a mission, and that mission is to get rid of as many Democrats out of office as we can. And we're going to be doing that, especially in 2026, okay? We're going to have Senator Tuberville as our governor, so we are going to be ready. We are going to be ready for them. Anyway, we still have a little more time to talk about the Moffett Point Marines, and Master Gunnery Sergeant House wanted to say a few more things, so we are allowing her to say those things because, folks, this. Ball, the Marine Corps ball, Officer Point Marine Corps ball, it is very important. And we really want people to attend and witness history. This is history, folks. This is history. And one thing that she did not say that I had heard was that the President Roosevelt's wife, Eleanor, she was responsible for a lot, okay? she was responsible for the Tuskegee Airmen, convincing her husband to allow the Tuskegee to train airmen, you know, pilots. And she was also responsible in the Moffett Point Marines to get her president to allow the Marine Corps to accept black Marines, all right? So that's very important, and she doesn't get the credit that she really blessed. And I believe she had some black blood in her. You know, I do. But anyway, Sergeant House.
Okay, so call me Master Gunner Sergeant if you're going to call me by my rank.
Master Gunner Sergeant.
So let me just say this about that, and you're absolutely right. But keep in mind that they were forced to switch it over to allow the African-Americans to join. So it wasn't like she just said, hey, hon, I think this is a good idea. And it was so. It was not that. And imagine being, of course, you know, the Marine Corps has always been known for, well, we're prestigious, and I'll just say that. I know that that's going to start an argument. But everybody kind of wanted to join the Marine Corps. We say the few and the proud for a reason.
Right.
But I'm saying it this way because imagine wanting to be a Marine and you cannot be simply because of the color of your skin.
Right.
And so you would have thought that, considering even the Tuskegee Airmen or the Buffalo Soldiers, that we'd be rethinking that. But no. And so what I'm saying is, imagine wanting to join and finally getting the opportunity to join, and you're going to be under a commandant who actually says out loud and proudly that I would rather have 5,000 white Marines than 25,000 blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. so we talk about Moffett Point. You know, this was not going to the Taj Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about going to a godforsaken area, swampy area, bears, snakes, or whatever, and getting there and almost having to build your own boot camp before.
Yeah.
No other branch of service that integrated had to do that.
Right, yeah.
And so the conditions were extremely difficult, and part of the idea was to make sure that you didn't stay.
Yeah.
And then you have to understand the times that we were in.
Right.
And so you're talking about, but you still had these guys who, in spite of the fact of being in the country, they kind of didn't want us.
Right.
But they did it anyway because that was the right thing to do.
Right.
And so they managed to do that training separately at Camp Moffett Point, which is why they're called, you know, Moffett Pointers.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll add, the last ones were trained in 1949. So 50, 51, they started training at the basic, you know,
right.
trainers that we know of, Parris Island. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in 1965, you know, nothing pulls us together than sharing some hardships. Mm-hmm. A couple of guys got together. Hey, man, you know, you are, we ought to get together. And I was like, well, I saw Joe the Rack, you know, this kind of thing. And they just decided that they just decided to meet up somewhere. And they were thinking maybe 45th of folk could show up. 400.
Wow.
400 African-Americans who had trained at Camp Moffett Point showed up. And so that was really the beginning of the association.
Mm-hmm.
And that little one spot in Philadelphia has now become, across the country and other outside countries,
mm-hmm.
we have 47 chapters. Mm-hmm. 47 chapters of that one thing, and all they're doing is just telling the story, because everybody knows about the Tuskegee Airmen and what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talks about the Buffalo Soldier, but nobody talks about the Moffett Point Marines. And that's part of the story. So I'm not going to tell you that story now, because I'm going to make you come to that ball to catch that. But we're proud of that. You have to understand the kind of people. We're talking doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. I mean, we're talking about, you know, some outstanding citizens even during that time and after. So yes, a big deal. And to have sustained that up through now is a big deal.
Right.
Because again, although I'm saying the youngest guy's about 100, you know, we've got 104-year-olds, 102-year-olds. But the key to what I was saying about that, and the reason I'm saying that, is because of the service and because of what they did. They actually were awarded the Congressional Gold Medal. We hear a little bit about that from various other organizations. And I'm not going to mention them because we're talking about the Moffett Point Marines. But back in 2012, unanimous vote by Congress authorized all of those who carried that title, Moffett Point Marine, are now authorized and were awarded that Congressional Gold Medal.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time looking for that. And one of the reasons I'm saying that, too, is any of you know of any African-Americans who were in the Marine Corps during World War II? They are probably, and I'm going to say they probably are, Mumford Partners, and they rate that Congressional Gold Medal. So we're looking for them every day. And most of the time, they're deceased. And so the awards can be posthumous, and right now, that's what we'll be doing at our ball. We will have two posthumous Congressional Gold Medal recipients. Mm-hmm. Kind of proud of that because it continues to tell that story. And because we have a varied group, so there's quite a bit of diversity at our ball. And because of that varied group, a lot of people get to hear that story. And so to be able to make that award and then hear the message from somebody that served, that's actually Mumford Partners, that's a pretty big deal.
Right. And folks, I, as young as I am, I joined the Marines a couple of weeks after President Kennedy was shot. And I went to boot camp at Parris Island. It was hell, folks. So I can just imagine how 20 years how those Marines, Moffett Point Marines, going through boot camp there, how tough it was.
It's interesting because in 2012, I just joined the chapter, and I can remember that that's when we had the award. So there were several more even around here that were still living. And I remember being at City Hall, and we were talking about the Congressional Gold Medal being awarded to these individuals. There was a lot of news media around, and they were trying to interview these Marines. And they would ask questions like, well, how did it feel, you know, when you were there? What did you do? The country didn't want you. Why did you, why did you join anyway?
Right.
And what they were saying is, it's my country. Mm-hmm. That's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
So what did you do when you got back? I went back to work.
Yeah.
They were very simple, and to be honest with you, most of them did not talk to their families about it.
Right.
But as I noticed this a little bit more, even some, they talk a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking a little bit more.
Right.
They're talking a little bit more, and
well,
that's a great thing.
Being a retired Marine, and I'm retired military, sometimes we don't communicate with folks who have not had military service, you know? And we're better with talking to someone who knows, who gone through hell. you watch that Marine Corps program, To Hell and Back, but that was an army with what you call me, but in the Marine Corps it was all.
But you
hell.
Know, and I hear what you're saying on that, but I think it was a little bit different for them, because again, we're talking about the 1940s. And we're talking about a period of time where blacks weren't exempt. I mean, keep in mind, when did we get the vote?
Oh, you use the word blacks. Oh, okay. Keep using that. I don't use that after
Whatever, George.
So, okay.
But the times were hard, and this was something that they would not share with their families.
Right, right.
Now, what they were taught and learned as I started talking to some of them, some of the discipline that they had, that was instilled. And they'll talk about that. But the stories, they just recently started talking about that. They really did not appreciate a lot of what they went through. It was just difficult because it was a trying time for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, knowing what I went through 20 years later, I know it's a lot worse than what they went through with. You know what I mean? And, man, that was hard.
Yeah.
That was hard. Yeah. I really, really, really mean that. Someone just sent me a text about, and folks, you know, I am a conservative.
Oh, gee. Okay.
I am not. Magna man all the way.
I am not.
And I'm trying every day to get these Moffett Point Marines, you know, bring them over to our side. And I just asked Master Gunny, you know, how long can she tread water? Because that USS Democrat is sinking, you know. But now we work, and I'm proud. I'm proud of her. I'm proud of the Moffett Point Marines, all of them. I'm a member, and I've been a member a long time, and I will be a member until I'm gone, you know, because like they said, this organization, what those guys went through with. I keep saying guys. Were there any females that went through during that time? No.
So let me just say one thing. Let me correct one thing. Although, and I appreciate that, but let me just say, for me, particularly this conversation here, we're not talking about Democrats and Republicans. We're going to be in here. We're going to be talking about the month for Pump Marines and veteran stuff because,
well, I still think you'd be better on my side over here, but that's another thing. All right. Now, what about sponsorship? I know you're looking for sponsors.
We are. We do have a number of sponsorship levels available. And actually, what I do not have in front of me is the method by which they can do that. Mm-hmm. But we can certainly make that information available to those that are interested. So if they would just either through you, just notify you, hey, we'd like to help out.
Okay.
We look for one of the reasons we want to make this a big deal. Right. It's got to be the big deal. Of course, you already know that it costs money to do that.
Yeah.
And even just to get this guy here, Ambassador Britton. So if you would allow that for them to contact you to get that information out to you, I'd be happy to take that. Yeah,
definitely.
There are sponsorship opportunities on various levels, and there's tickets still available for the ball so that you get to come and see.
Yeah, okay, great. How much are your tickets?
The tickets are $70.
Oh, yeah. It's
very definitely affordable. We try to make it that way so that people can come, and it is formal.
Right.
An appropriate appropriate military attire in a formal event.
Okay. And we have all branches of the service come there.
We have all branches of the service. We have all political factions.
Right. Yes. And also the young ROTC.
Yes. We've started including them.
Okay.
I'm going to take credit for that idea because it looks so good. So we do include them, and we love that idea. And part of the sponsorship affords us the opportunity to keep inviting them to come back.
Great. And they will be back this year.
They will.
All right.
They will.
Fantastic. Master Gunnery Sergeant Cynthia House, folks. She works real hard, not only for the Moffitt Point Marines, but the Marine Corps League. And then a couple of years ago, they gave her an award, which they should have given it to me, but they gave it to her. What was that award?
I am the first female veteran of the year, so that's one. George also wanted my community service award that I received, the J. Gary Cooper Community Service Award that the Chamber awards.
Right.
But no.
Okay. All right.
And I'm certain that you'll have us back on so that we can talk about the Veterans Day events.
Good. All right. Folks,
Mom for Part Marines. Hoorah.
Hoorah. Hoorah. Folks, we'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We had a very good conversation, two very good conversations with Carla Dupree and Cynthia House. So I really enjoyed that. And they both came in with some very refreshing and interesting information. All right, let's get off of that subject, and we'll go to the nearest subject. Now, someone is going to be calling in. Until they do call in, I will be talking about current events. First of all, I'd like to congratulate President Trump for a well-done job with the war over in the Middle East. All of our former presidents, nobody has been able to get those countries together, Muslim countries and European countries together to support, okay? I think we have our person who we're waiting for. Hello, welcome, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Caroline Dobson. It's great to be with you, Mr. Williams.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I just left the University of South Alabama game against Arkansas State. So really happy to be in the Mobile Bay area this evening.
Great. We're glad to have you. And folks, everybody knows Caroline. She's been on our show several times. And we are glad that she's back on tonight. And she's running for office again. Tell our audience what you're running for.
Yes, that's right. I am running to be Alabama's next Secretary of State. Okay. And after the experience of running for Congress last year, that truly made me realize just how fundamental it is to have secure elections and also to have an economy that we can trust, to have elected officials that we can trust on the state level. So I'm really excited at this opportunity and again, grateful for your support and for the support and friendship of so many wonderful folks in the Mobile area.
Great, great. I'm so glad that you're running. And, you know, I support you all the way.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm very excited about the new minority GOP chapter in Montgomery,
right,
where I live. And I think that is just so tremendous. And we've got this huge opportunity. And to any of your viewers that are, you know, either here in the Mobile area or other, you know, elsewhere in South Alabama, we really need to rally behind this new chapter and support them. I'm excited to be at their inaugural meeting over in November. But we've got a lot of exciting things going on in the state.
Right, right. And you're going to be up there in Montgomery, right, at that time?
That's right. Yes, sir. I'll be there November 7th.
November 7th. I'll be there, too. And it's going to be very exciting. And what we're doing, the minority GOP, is we're reopening our chapters, and we want five major chapters: Mobile, Montgomery, Birmingham, Huntsville, and the Dalton Enterprise area. So
that is fantastic.
That's what we're working on now. And the Montgomery chapter has reorganized, and they're having the luncheon of the chapter on the 7th of November. So a lot of us from here will be going up there help celebrate that, and we're glad you're coming.
Yes, well, and that's, again, hopefully have the opportunity to serve as Alabama's next Secretary of State, because it's so vital that we have someone fighting tooth and nail for integrity in our elections, mm-hmm, especially when it comes to areas where Democrats think that they have a political machine where they try to perpetuate election fraud. And you know, minority GOP chapters are going to have a huge target on their back, you
right,
know, with respect to these Democrats. And so you need a strong Secretary of State who's going to make sure that there is integrity in our election system.
Right. Now, I'm glad we're talking, because you gave an interview, and I can say that the Democrats are up to the same old thing. You made a statement, and I made several statements similar to that, how we didn't want a Democrat to take over Mobile or Huntsville, okay, because mm-hmm, we know what happened in Birmingham and Montgomery once they take over. So I think it was AL.com, and, you know, they're talking about you and it, you know, in a negative way with what you said. And to me, there's nothing wrong with what you said.
Yes, well, you know, I was speaking at the Mobile GOP Executive Committee, and it's true. I admired that, you know, there were a lot of candidates initially in the Mobile mayor's race, and there were some split loyalties among the Mobile Republican Party, and I really admired how, when it came down to the runoff and there was a choice between a candidate with radical far left views, Barbara Drummond, and a candidate with pro-business, pro-law enforcement, conservative values like Spiro, that the party came together and rallied to save Mobile, but also save our state, because I'm firmly of the belief that Mobile and Baldwin County as well, I mean, holds the keys to the opportunity in this state and the future of this state, with the port, with the airport, you know, from a natural resources standpoint, the Mobile River Delta, manufacturing. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is truly the key opportunity area of the state. And so to lose control of Mobile to a far left Democrat. Right. You know, Barbara Drummond, as a representative, she has voted against laws that would keep boys out of our girls' locker rooms.
A lot of things.
Yes, she's voted against. Yes. So, for her to pretend that, you know, she would be a bipartisan mayor is a fantasy.
Right.
And I think that was demonstrated by her strategy too in getting some of the, you know, really far left endorsements.
Maxine Waters.
In the mayor's race.
You know, it is very true. During the campaigning for the mayorship, I have mentioned it several times. We don't want, even though it's a nonpartisan election, but we don't want no Democrat as a mayor, Mobile or as a mayor of Huntsville. It's too important.
Right, right. As someone who currently lives in Montgomery, I have seen the fallout of what it's like to have, a Democrat in office, the
right.
failure of leadership,
right.
the lack of safety, the lack of opportunity. And so it was vitally important that we defeated the Democrat in the Mobile mayor's race, and I'm grateful. And I'll say it again. So if AL.com is listening, they can make another article about it.
Right.
But I stand by my words. I think the voters of Mobile truly saved our state.
Well, I can tell you, we support you 100%, and the minority GOP supports you 100%.
I support the minority GOP 100%, and again, want to fight tooth and nail to ensure, especially in counties that lean Democrat, that that these chapters can actually have a chance to field candidates, and that they have a chance to get elected in free and fair elections.
Okay. We got about another minute. How can our audience help you and with your campaign?
Yes. No, we are throughout the state. Again, tonight in Mobile, tomorrow I'll be in Huntsville. So chances are I'll be near all of your viewers at some point in the near future. Our website is DobsonForAlabama.com.
Okay.
And we're also on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Dobson for Alabama.
Great, great. All right, I'm glad you call in, and we're going to have you, you know, as many times as it takes until the election time. As we know, qualification is from 5 to 23 January.
That's right, yes, and in the primary on May 19th.
May 19th. All right, Caroline, we appreciate you calling in, and call us anytime, okay?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and I appreciate you, Mr. Williams. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right, folks, that was Caroline Dobson. She's a candidate, a Republican candidate for Secretary of State for Alabama. And get out there and vote for her, folks. Help her out. Help her out. She's an outstanding Republican. And, her making a statement, And the Democrats are getting on her. We don't care what they try, the Democrats do. We're not going to listen to that. But I just wanted to have her on so she can tell you about her thoughts regarding that statement. And AL.com, I don't even read it anymore, I'm telling you. All right, we're just about finished, and we appreciate our guests coming on, all of our guests coming on, folks. We'll see you again next week. Until then, Vicon Dales, everyone.